The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher.
And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Hi, my name is Carl Trimboli, and I'd like to explain a passage of Scripture to you today. And it's found in Romans chapter 4, and that was verse 21 that I read to you. And we'll take and we'll diagram this verse, and we'll look at what it means to be fully persuaded in the realm of God's doctrine and his Bible verses. But first, by the way, if you have got a Bible at home, get it out and open it up to the book of Genesis, where we'll start today. And we'll go through, and we're going to take a biblical example of what God has offered to us, what is called faith. The title of my message is How Faith Works When You Don't. So a lot of times the word faith could be misunderstood. It could be, you could think of something supernatural that I have faith and that's fine, that will get me to heaven. But what do you have faith in or about? Faith needs to have an object, and the object needs to be Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. But let's take for a moment and jump back in time and go in and see an example that God has given us to learn from. And we'll be starting back in Genesis chapter 17. Get your Bible and follow along. Genesis 17, we'll start in verse 15. And it says, "And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." When we read these verses, we have to watch what the Lord is saying to Abraham. And he says, "I will give you a son of her." It's very important to remember what God says and what God says he'll do. He said, "I will do this." He will cause it. We'll see some more verses. Verse 17 says, "Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old?" Here's a man that's 100 years old. God's telling him he's going to have a child, and he knows that he's an old man already, and he's not supposed to have children because his body is actually dead concerning those parts. And he says, and the Lord goes on to say, that is 100 years old, "And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said before unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before God. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." Again, the Lord says, "And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac." Here the Lord says, "You're going to have a son, Abraham. I know you're 100 years old. I know Sarah's 90 years old. But you'll have a son, and you call his name Isaac." God looks out in the future, and he sees something that hasn't even come to be yet, and he says, he talks about it as if it's already happened. And he says, "That's what you call his name. You call his name Isaac." So here is some instructions. God says, "I'm going to cause this to happen with you and Sarah, and this is going to be that child's name." In verse 21, it says, "But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at the set time in the next year." So there's a special time, even the Lord says. It says, at the set time in the next year. He not only calls his name Isaac, he says, "Abraham, you're 100 years old, you're going to have a child of Sarah who's 90, and you call his name Isaac, and at this particular time, it's going to happen." So if the Lord said all this, Abraham's probably wondering, why he's doing all this. And he'll explain it to him a little later on. The Lord made a promise to these Abraham and Sarah that's impossible for man to do, but with God, anything is possible. And he has a reason for doing this. And God doesn't lie when he gives a promise. And that's what we'll look at, and that's the basis for faith. Genesis chapter 18 now, and in verse 9. Watch again what the Lord says and how he will do things. 18, verse 9, "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent." This is the Lord speaking to Abraham. "And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him." Now verse 11 says, "Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman." Now, we already read in the previous chapter that she was 90 years old. Again, it's spelled out that she can't have children. She's past the time of motherhood. She can't have children. But the Lord wants us to know for sure that it is impossible for man and woman at this time of life to have children. We've got it spelled out. There's no question. Let's go on to the next step. The Lord said, "I will," and this is what's really interesting. When the Lord begins to do some work, when he says he'll do something, by golly, you can bank on it, he'll do it. Verse 14 says, and you can think about this, verse 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Well, there you go. That wraps it up. "At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." And it's repeated. The Lord says something interesting here. He says, "I shall return unto Sarah." And we'll see the verses that, well, coming right up now, that he's going to return to Sarah. Verse 2, Genesis 21:1. This is the birth of Isaac. "And the Lord visited Sarah." He just said in the last verse we read, he said, "I will return unto Sarah." And in verse 21:1, by golly, he holds true to his promise. "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said." He didn't lie. "And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken." So the Lord did to Sarah, opened her womb, and the verses will see that her womb was dead. She was past the age of being able to bear children. But the Lord visited Sarah, and he did something unto Sarah as he had spoken. "For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, and at the set time which God had spoken to him." So all the things that the Lord said, "I will, I will, I will," he did, he did, he did. He followed through on everything he said he was going to do with Abraham and Sarah that were past the age of bearing. He allowed them to have a child, but he said, "I will return unto Sarah." And let's move on now. Let's not move on. Let's go back. Let's back up, if you will, to chapter 16. Abraham and Sarah are lifted up in our scriptures as people of faith. But you know, there was one time that they were not of faith. And they were not really believing what God had said to them. They had listened to the Lord, and they had assumed it to be so. But after a certain amount of time, they just gave up on the Lord. In chapter 16, verse 1 through 4, I'll read. And it said, "Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abraham, Behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing." Well, that's something nice to say. The Lord promised her that she would have a child of Abraham. And now she says, "The Lord has stopped me from bearing. I can't bear children. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her." That was not part of God's promise. God told Abraham, I will give thee a child of her, which was Sarah, not Hagar. Hagar was not in God's promise to Abraham. And Abraham hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. He listened to his wife rather than listening to the Lord. In verse 3 it says, and Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abraham dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her unto her husband Abraham to be his wife. And he went in unto her, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. But what had happened now, Abraham and Hagar, they have a child. And that's not part of God's promise, but that's what they did. And what they did is they acted in unbelief. They weren't persuaded. They didn't fully believe that what God told them, he was going to pull through for them. He said, Abraham, you're 100 years old. You're going to have a child named him Isaac. And at this particular time, Sarah's going to bear. And they didn't believe God. Abraham listened to his wife. And that's why he went into Hagar, which he should have never done. The verses go on. But let's go into Romans. Into the New Testament book of Romans, where the Apostle Paul writes some things concerning this incident with Abraham and Sarai and Sarah. And it's all based on faith. We're looking at faith, how it works when you don't. Remember that as we go through these verses. It's faith, and it's being persuaded of what God had said he was able to perform. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 brings this story back up on the screen again, and it puts it before our eyes for us to learn from. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, talking about Abraham, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and call those things which be not as though they were. Isaac. Isaac was not, and he said, when he comes to be, you call his name Isaac. And he called something out that was not, had not been yet occurred, but he can see things that we can't see. Verse 18, Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not, listen here, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Here's two people. Again, it was talked about back in Genesis. It's repeated again here now in the New Testament, book of Romans. And it says that they were both dead concerning being able to childbear. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He says, being not weak in faith, but being strong in faith, he was giving glory to God. And verse 21 is the verse that we wanted to show you today. It says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Now, if you would, look up at the board, and you can see up there, I've got those three words. This is the one verse, picks up these three words, what God had, that he was persuaded. This is talking about Abraham. He was persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Now, these three words here are pretty easy to remember because they all start with P, for one thing. And if you go to one verse, they're all tucked in nicely into this verse. And this here, if I had to tell you one verse to go to for a definition of faith, this is it. Being fully persuaded, no doubt in my mind, that what God had promised, he would perform. Just like Abraham and Sarah. It was impossible for Abraham and Sarah to have a child. God said, I'll do it. And Abraham and Sarah were fully persuaded that what God's promised, he can perform it. Now, this is written down now. Let's look at verse 22. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham believing God's words was how Abraham was counted righteous. Now, I'm saying all this to get to a point. Now, verse 23, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. it's written down not only for Abraham's sake, but for our sake if we believe on him. If we believe on Jesus Christ, it says we're saved. I say all these things for those people out there that are believers in Christ and those that have not yet come to believe what Christ did for them. Faith in Christ is not a matter of giving your heart to him, opening your heart's door, making him the Lord of your life, giving tithes, speaking in tongues. That is not faith. Faith is being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And we'll see some verses that point directly to us in just a minute. But don't get faith mixed up with something you can do. What you can do, watch this. This here is what Abraham, let me see if I can remember now how to spell the name, I-S-H, I'm going to miss M-A. That's not the spelling of it, but that's Ishmael. That's the son that Abraham and Sarah had, that's the son that Abraham had with Hagar. And this was in the flesh. This was not listening to what God had to say. Walking by faith. He was not persuaded. He was not fully persuaded that what God promised him, he could perform. You know how I know that? Is because they had Ishmael. That's why I know that when they first started out, they were not persuaded. They didn't believe God could cause them to have a child. This now is lifted up as an example and given to us and said, this is faith. And if we're trying to do some performance ourselves in our life, speaking in tongues, giving tithes, working at the church, putting money in the plate, whatever you can do, whatever you think you can do to earn your salvation, you're doing something that God said, I will. This is God's performance side over here, not yours, not ours. God promised us something. He didn't promise us Ishmael. He didn't promise us a boat to take us across the water like Noah. He didn't promise us to bring us through on dry ground. He promised us eternal life today. And if you try to change his promise, you're not working according to faith, according to that scripture verse now. What we need to do is get into our Bible and see what did he promise us. He didn't promise me and my wife that we would have Ishmael after I was 100 years old. I have to know where to go for my promise in this book. And the more you study it and the more you do something called right division of the word, you'll learn about what promises are ours. And when you see what promises are ours, that'll cause joy in your life and you'll be able to walk the Christian life according to what God wants you to do, not according to what you think you might want to do. You can, and many people are confused, and that's why they go back into the Old Testament, find a promise back there that's not given to them, and they'll put it over here and they'll say, this is what I'll take from God. They'll say, God promised this, and they'll say, whatever it might be, riches. Back in the Old Testament, they were under an if-then program. If you perform, then God will do something. If you don't perform, then you'll get cursed. There was that back in Deuteronomy 28, Deuteronomy 30. Go back and read it. If they had to do something, then they had to do something to get God's blessings. And if they didn't, they got the curse. That's a performance program. God told them to perform back there. God didn't tell you and me to perform. He told us to believe in Jesus Christ. Just like Abraham and Sarah, they tried to do it themselves. They tried to perform what God said he would do. And this is like faith and works kind of an idea. We're not to work for our salvation today. It's our faith in Jesus Christ. And we'll see the verses in a minute. God promised Abraham and Sarah Isaac. I need to brush up on my spelling. Isaac. Close enough. And Isaac is what God promised Abraham and Sarah. And when Abraham and Sarah were fully persuaded, then he performed. Not until they were both fully persuaded did God perform so that they would have Isaac. So they had to do this, be persuaded. And another word for this is faith. How faith works when you don't. They didn't work, God performed. When they tried to perform God's promise, God said hands off, and he didn't have anything to do with what they were doing because it was not his promise. They hooked up their own promise and said, we'll do it. We'll work up our own system and we'll do the performing. We'll help God out. And that's not the way the Lord wants us to operate today. If we try to substitute anything in place of God's promise or his performance, we're not believing God's word. It's just important to go to the verses. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I've got chalk dust all over me, but that's all right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In verse 14, let's go down through some verses here. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Here's a promise, and we've got some more here. Here's a promise God said. Anyone that believes in Jesus, that he died and rose again, the finished work that Jesus Christ did at Calvary, if you believe in that, and I hope you do today, before I go any further, if you haven't had faith in Jesus Christ, you need right now to believe that he died on the cross for your sins. You know why? Because he said it in his book. And he said that there is no other way. John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I know the way is by Jesus Christ, and the way he provided was the cross of Calvary. And then the Apostle Paul expounds on all of this and tells us how we can enter into this great salvation. But back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep," those people that have died, believing. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now here's all of this stuff that the Lord's saying, and I know that the Lord can't lie, so you know what I count this as? I count this as a promise. Here's something that's going to fall in here. God's saying these things to us, that the dead in Christ shall rise, and that the next thing, verse 17, "For then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him, them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." That's a promise to me. God can't lie, and he just said something in here. If I die, if someone I know dies and gets buried in the grave, that if they're a believer, God's going to take them home to glory to be with him forever. And verse 18 says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." So here's something that God's promised. Now I have to just either believe these verses or not believe it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And we don't have time to look at all the promises God gave us, but let's look at a few. You can find some of the rest of them on your own as you study and read. When God says something in the scriptures that's going to be, he calls something that's not as if it already was, you can believe that and you can count on that. And if you try to put something different in there, you're crossing God's word and you're not believing God's word if you do that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "In whom you also trusted." This is talking about Jesus Christ. "In whom you trusted." You trusted. You were persuaded. He's talking to someone who trusted in something. "After that you heard the word of truth." What's that? Here's the promise. You heard the word of truth. This is the gospel. "The gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." The Holy Spirit of promise. "Now, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." There's going to be a time. We've got now what's called the earnest of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is given to us. So that's a down payment, actually, for our eternal life, for something that God will give us in the future. And so we need to be fully persuaded. It said the gospel of our salvation. The gospel is, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures." This is the gospel found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. That's the gospel. Christ died for your sins. There's five words you should never forget, and if you're ever lost for something to say, say that. That's something that's called the gospel. Christ died for our sins. He paid for our sins, and he died for everything that I'd ever done wrong, or anything you'd ever done wrong, or anything anybody's ever done wrong. It was all accomplished in the cross of Calvary, and that's how we can have redemption and these promises. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life. Here's a promise again. Eternal life is a promise given by God to us, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Galatians 3:14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We can receive something by faith. We receive something by being fully persuaded that what God had said, we have to be persuaded of what he said in his word, that he can perform it. And if he said he died for my sins, you know what? I am fully persuaded of that. I don't feel like working off my sins because I never could. My debt would be paid for fully in hell. And I don't want to pay for that. You know why this is called good news? The gospel is good news to me, and I hope it's good news to you, because now you don't have to worry about anything. All you need to worry about is getting into your Bible now that you believe and you trust in Jesus Christ. And I hope you do, because one day I want to see you up in glory. I'm going to be there, and I sure hope you are too. And it's going to make a second decision in your mind, just a moment of time, in trusting in Jesus Christ that he died for you. Believe his promise, not mine. I can't figure out stuff like this. I can hardly spell the names on the board. But listen to what God has to say. Be persuaded in your mind that what he promised you, he can perform. And believe me, he can, because the Bible says God cannot lie. Why don't you take now just a moment and just think about believing and trusting that Christ died for your sins, a promise made to God, from God to you. Thank you.
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093, area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe.